Welcome to the Concurrent. Keep digging, getting the most out of publicly available information. We have two fine young gentlemen here, David Wilhelm and Luke Kasser. David is a consultant at Finity with over 7 years' experience in the general insurance industry, qualifying as a fellow in 2012. He's been involved in projects ranging from statutory roles to pricing, monitoring and analytics. For the past 4 years, he has developed a keen interest in analysing the Australian general insurance industry's performance using APRA's statistical publications and other publicly available information. During this time, he's authored a series of industry performance newsletters, the latest of which was published in October just gone. He's also a key contributor to Pendulum, Affinity and Deutsche Bank joint annual publication on industry performance, and has spoken on this topic several times. Luke is a consultant at Affinity, qualifying as a fellow in 2013. Luke has particular expertise in analysing the experience of Australia's general insurance industry, data analytics and lenders' mortgage insurance. He's been previously a key contributor to Pendulum, Affinity and Deutsche Bank publication. Okay, I'll hand over to David and kick off well.
Thanks, John. So the title of our talk today is Keep Digging, Getting the Most Out of Publicly Available Information. The key kind of focus and the kind of information we're looking at trying to unravel is the performance of the general insurance industry. So a lot of the talk will be focusing on the APRA statistics and using other publicly available information to kind of either verify, qualify or have to edit the APRA statistics in order to make sense of what's being published. So our excavation plan is we're going to start by talking about the information universe, so what information is out there that we can use. Talk about why it's important to actually dig and keep digging, and also why it's important to even kind of care about the industry performance statistics. And we've got two case studies. So one first case study is a look at some premium statistics, and the second one is some stats on claims. And then we'll wrap up after that. So the information universe, there's quite a vast range of industry level data that's out there. The key one on the top left is the APRA stats. There's quite a number of publications that they do. We can supplement those with some public information from Lloyd's that they have their Lloyd's Market Intelligence that they produce either each year or every 2 years. There's some data from the Insurance Council of Australia. Then you go into the kind of government bureaus or in the Reserve Bank, so the Australian Bureau of Statistics and the Reserve Bank. That data's more a little bit more on economics and financial information and kind of across the broad population of people. Then you've got kind of your more specialist kind of industry commentary from consultants such as Finity, listed company reports, so any of the listed insurers will have information in their annual reports that you can glean, and then equity analyst reports, so any of the kind of commentary from the economists or the equity analysts at other banks. So what's available in the APRA stats? These are the four kind of key publications that are useful for the general insurance industry. There's the quarterly general insurance performance stats. So they kind of give a look at the P&L and balance sheet by line of business for each quarter. There's also half-yearly publications of the institution-level statistics. So you can actually look at the level one or level two institutions. Then there's some data on intermediated data. So that's data from Lloyd's and unauthorised foreign insurers. And then there's also the NCPD claims and policy database. This is the interactive part of the presentation. Could I get a raise of hands for who actually uses the quarterly performance statistics, whether it be looking at the PDF in Excel? Okay, so there's quite a few of you, which is good to see. Can I get another raise of hands of whether or not you use the... So there's the a PDF version, an Excel version, and then there's actually an Excel database. Can I get a raise of hands to see who uses the database version of that? Okay, so a bit less, but most. The database version just contains a lot more... it goes into a lot more detail by class of business. Often you'll... The PDF will only have kind of key loss ratios for at an industry level or key other key ratios at an industry level. Our preference is always to use the database and get the most out of it that we can. What do we use it for? Why is it important to understand in insurance statistics? Well, generally we want to understand the industry performance as a whole. We want to see if insurance is a product that's growing or if it's diminishing or what lines are really where is the market moving, what lines are growing faster than others. If you're an insurer, you use it to benchmark internal portfolios. If you've had a bad quarter, you want to see whether or not that experience was seen elsewhere, whether or not you were hit most by a catastrophe more than your competitors. It's also useful to consider new products. So if you're an insurer and you want to get into commercial motor, you'd be able to use the APRA stats to kind of estimate a return on capital for that line of business. And finally, for strategic planning. So you could even use it if you were a foreign insurer that doesn't have an Australian market presence. Your first port of call would be the APRA statistics to kind of work out, well, what kind of profitability can I expect? What's the kind of size of each line of business?
So that's what we use the APRA stats for. And given those purposes, it's very important to actually understand the story behind the numbers. And to do that, we'll just start off with a quick example at an industry level. Refer rather than to the numbers, but the colours and the size of those bars. Here's a waterfall chart that steps through the profit impact from last year to FY16, and it's based purely on the APRA stats alone. So if you were to use this purely in its rawest state, some observations you might make are outwards reinsurance. So the industry spent an extra $3.5 billion on reinsurance during the year. You can see the claims were higher, but you've got no insight into what types of claims, where those claims came from and what caused them. You can see that there's higher insurance recoveries and, you know, obviously some of that is due to the higher insurance spend, but what proportion of it is related to that? And is that the sole reason and what's going on there? You can see that there's been higher non-recurring items, according to the APRA stats. So, you know, what are these non-recurring items? We've got no detail into what comprises them, what breaks it down, what are the drivers within that bubble. And you can also see that we've got lower total expenses. So if we were to, that's using just the raw data, but if we try to bring some extra sort of external publicly available information and sort of our industry knowledge and some other sort of side analysis to that, here's our view on what really happened during FY16. So we'll just step through these one by one. To start with, first of all, here's the raw data indicated, and you can see the differences. So for the most staggering difference is the higher outward RIs. You can see it's nowhere near as big. We know that there were some big one-off reinsurance arrangements that were placed during the year. Now, these were one-off, so, you know, we might want to sort of normalise through those to sort of see what the underlying movements were in profit. So we've done that. We've normalised all, adjusted all the items in the waterfall for those arrangements, and I'll talk about those a bit later as well. In terms of claims, using some of the ICA stats, we've been able to split out what the natural perils component of that was. So now we've got, we can see that we know that during FY16 we had a lot less natural perils than we did in the previous year. So the remainder is high attritional current period claims. And we've also been able to sort of remove, these are now on a net basis. So we've also applied, had some reinsurance assumptions and some side analysis that have gotten these onto a net basis. for those non-recurring items, we're able to split them out into the discount rate impact and the reserve releases. And because of the reinsurance arrangements, we now see that expenses are actually higher during the year rather than lower. So the purpose of this exercise was to show that if you just use the APRA stats in their raw form, very insightful, valuable information, but it's important to understand what's happening underneath in the industry to avoid being misled.
So just a case study that shows, I guess the point of our presentation is really to show you can't take the data that's published at face value. It always helps to do a little bit more analysis and work into deciphering what's going on. So going to step through a case study with premium figures for fire and ISR. Firstly, in case you weren't aware, the APRA stats do publish by class of business. They also publish data for direct insurers and reinsurers separately. Now, there's just kind of a little bit... the point of this slide is to show that the kind of nuances around this split. So if you sum up the 14 classes of business, excluding inwards re, because we want to look at the direct insurance, well, it's actually the sum of... there are direct insurers who are writing direct business, but there are also some reinsurers that write a small amount of direct business as well. So if you were to look at the way the data is published by direct insurer and reinsurer, well, if you look at the direct insurers, it doesn't actually add up to the sum of the classes of business. So that's just a kind of minor point of potential confusion that we've had to kind of battle through. So if we look at the raw data for the gross earned premium for fire and ISR by June financial years, looking at the growth in that premium, the thing that sticks out to me is a contraction in premium in 2014 and 2015 by -2% and -6%. So, it's quite... You kind of think, well, the fire and ISR industry is shrinking. So we kind of wanted to have a look into that. Well, our knowledge of kind of what's going on in the... Firstly, you could actually see in the APRA statistics and also knowing what's going on around the industry. So we had a look at the fire services levy amount that insurers collect in the APRA stats. And if you express that as a percentage of the property classes earned premium, you'll actually see that in 2014 it dropped dramatically. And of course, that's because from 1 July 2013, the Victorian government abolished fire services levy and it's now replaced by a fire property services levy that's collected through council rates. So if you adjust for this change in fire services levy, what you actually see is that, and that's now in blue, you actually see that in 2014 it actually grew at 5%. So, all of that kind of contraction was simply because of fire services levy. You can also see that the contraction in 2015 wasn't as hard as a 6% reduction. Now, while this fire services levy abolishment was a one-off effect, it's actually happening again in New South Wales. So from 1 July 2017, the emergency services levy will then become collected through council rates. So it's just going to be another hit to the another adjustment that we'll need to make. Just some other nuances around that too. The APRA stats don't publish fire services levy by class of business. So you have to kind of do a bit of analysis and estimate what proportion goes to householders, what proportion goes to fire and ISR. I've also ignored here the fact that there's a little bit of fire services levy collected through the motor classes of business. It's only a small amount. So another kind of nuance around these statistics is because they're those published by APRA in the quarterly performance statistics, they only capture data from APRA authorised institutions. So it only looks at the data that comes through the quarterly APRA returns. So what you're missing from that is any of the Lloyd's intermediated business, as well as any unauthorised foreign insurers. You'll also miss out on discretionary mutual funds. So they're the kind of self-insurance pools that exist. So the important thing around this one, though, is Well, APRA do, through their intermediated statistics, publish data on Lloyds and unauthorised foreign insurers. The tricky thing with the Lloyds data is that it isn't by class of business from APRA, so you have to then supplement some other data from that Lloyds publish themselves in order to unravel it and allocate that to a class of business. So what's interesting here is that the stuff that's not published by APRA, so in the blue and the grey columns, it's actually almost, you know, a quarter or almost a third of that total industry. So it's quite a sizable impact. And if you look at the growth rate of, you know, in 2013, the growth rate of the UFIs and the Lloyds was a lot stronger than that in the APRA authorised institutions. So sometimes when you see a contraction in fire and ISR or slower growth, you have to kind of be mindful that some of this business is still being written, but it's actually just being written by an unauthorised foreign insurer, for example. Just another example on premium, looking at reinsurance premium. So I've expressed the outwards reinsurance premium as a proportion of the gross earned premium for fire and ISR. So you can see that there has generally been a decreasing trend, probably with excess capacity in reinsurance markets, until we get to 2016, where there's an upward tick. And so, you know, the raw data suggests there's an increase in reinsurance in 2016, whether or not it be a premium rate increase or an increase in programs, we're not sure. But, I mean, you can even look in the popular press to be aware of the deal between IAG and Berkshire Hathaway. So what that was, effectively, it was a 20% quota share across all classes of business. The interesting thing about it was, too, is that it was an in-portfolio arrangement. So it wasn't a run-on from GWP. It was a straightaway 20% to the earned premium and to the incurred claims. So using IAG's annual reports and some information from popular press, you can kind of glean that if IAG had earned premium of $11.4 billion, then you know, it sort of suggests that 20% of that is going to Berkshire Hathaway as part of the quota share. An interesting stat is that, you know, if you consider that Berkshire Hathaway has taken $2.3 billion of premium, that's comparable to it's actually bigger than the fifth largest insurer in Australia. So, you know, that kind of premium exiting the market is like the fifth largest insurer exiting the market, which is just, it's quite a sizable impact to the entire industry. So if we were to adjust for this change, if you wanted to look at, well, what's the business's usual kind of look at the world, then you actually see that there's a continuation of the decreasing trend in outwards RI. And that kind of corroborates with a number of broker reports from Marsh and Aon, who were suggesting something like 10 to 20% reductions in renewal rates for reinsurance.
Okay, so while Luke used fire and ISR as a case study for premium, I'm going to use the APRA class of public and product liability as a case study for claims. So if we start off with just sort of the net loss ratio, now for liability, for these 6 years, it's hard to pick, you know, what an average year might look like, but if we say that just under 60% looks about normal. The two things that I can see are 2012 is high and 2016 is low. So let's see if we can break this down and work out what's going on underneath. So here the yellow bar is the net loss ratio as before, but I've broken it into the light blue, which is the current period net claims expense. So claims paid and provisions on claims that have occurred in that period. And it's on a undiscounted and central estimate basis. And the dark blue is what APRA is called the non-recurring items. So looking at 2012, the light blue bar, the current period claims experience, is not too different to what it was in 2011. It's maybe, you know, 1% higher. But in 2011, where non-recurring items sort of had a benefit, in 2012, it had a big bump up. And in 2016, both items look fairly out of whack. So let's unpack that a little bit, and we'll start off with the non-recurring items. So that dark blue bar is now here. We've now got just the non-recurring items, the loss ratio impact. So the way APRA have defined it in their glossary is fairly unhelpful. They define it as the bit left over when you take out the current period. So if we unpack what is actually in that, the first component are yield curve impacts. So as investment yields move, so as when there's a decrease in yield, you know, your outstanding claims liabilities will go up, and that will have a direct impact on your incurred claims. So in 2012, we can see that there was a big drop in the yield curve, which, you know, gives us this big loss ratio impact plus 20-odd% for liability. And similarly, over the last 2 years, we've had continual drops in the yield curve, so we've also got this hit to the loss ratio. Incidentally, in October, the yield curve sort of lifted again, sort of partway towards where it was at June, which I think for the industry I estimate to be about $200 million. And it's yet to see what impact Trump will have on our yield curve. Sorry to go there. The other component, when we sort of take out what the yield curve impact is, are, of course, the reserve movements. And as you can see, for liability, they've mostly been negative. The green bars are sort of under the axis. So we've had reserve releases. So you can see in 2012, where we had the big yield curve impact, it was slightly offset by some reserve releases, but not completely. So we still had a 10% lift from non-recurring items. So now we turn to 2016, and we've had huge reserve releases. So we'll unpack that in a moment, but first of all, just to put liability in the context of the whole industry, if we look at 2012, that green bar corresponds to that green portion of the pie of reserve releases. So the liability reserve releases were about 13% of those for the entire industry. Most of them were from CTP, and they continue to be so. And long tail classes there are sort of, you know, about 90%, as we'd expect. So turning to 2016, what caused that big reserve release? The answer is the Buffett effect, as Luke's touched on already. There's been two components to this. The first one is what Luke talked about before, the 20% quota share, which had a huge impact, you know, even though it's just one company, had a huge impact on the industry. The industry's ITR is impacted by about 1%. So that was from 1 July 2015. More recently, in February 2016, IAG announced an innovative package of reinsurance transactions with Berkshire Hathaway, and they've got the impact of materially mitigating exposures to the Canterbury earthquakes and asbestos liabilities in the CGU, workers' comp and public liability portfolios. And they've all, in their sort of press releases and reports, they've also commented that, you know, it resulted in a substantial release of reserves. So let's unpack this and look what the impact of this is and how we see it, how it manifests in the APRA statistics. So if we look at current period net claims, and we're focusing on the March 16 quarter in these series of charts, because that's where we'd see the impact, we can't see it there, as we'd expect. Let's look at net earned premium. And there's this big hole where, you know, $400 million of premium sort of disappeared. Where did it go? You can see it's there in the RI spend. So that's partly we saw in the first industry chart that I talked about earlier, where we saw that extra $3.5 billion worth of reinsurance spent for the entire industry. You know, this is just for liability. This is part of it. Interestingly, what we can see also on this chart is the impact of the quota share. You can see a 20% increase in RI spend there as well. And if I were to put up sort of, this is outwards RI, if I were to put up the RI recoveries, you'd see equivalent recoveries being made at these same points. If we look at the reserve movements, you can see here as well. So here I've normalized for the yield curve impacts. You can see there's the big reserve release. Now, it's important to note that it's not necessarily a reserve release. It's not sort of, you know, positive experience from prior claims. It's a reserve transfer. So those reserves have just gone somewhere else, gone to Berkshire, out of the APRA stats. So it's a reminder as well. It's not just what's in the stats, but, you know, remember what's outside of the stats when you're using them. Interestingly, if you were to sort of, you know, to Luke's point, earlier when we surveyed to say, you know, do you look at what level of detail do you use to look at the stats? Is it the database or is it the PDF publication? If you were to jump straight to the bottom line, if you were to jump straight to the underwriting result, so sure, around 2016 we can sort of, maybe it looks a little bit different to the past, but you wouldn't have unpicked what the story was, what was happening underneath. So it's important to sort of, I guess, be aware of what's happening in the wider industry when you're interpreting these statistics. So now just to summarise, this is where I left you before looking at the net loss ratio broken into those two main components. This is what we see in the data. If we try to adjust for the buffer effect, just for that innovative package of reinsurance transactions here, I've adjusted, so I've added back the premium that disappeared, and I've removed the recoveries that were made, so uplifted the claims, and also sort of normalised for the reserve transfer. We're left with something that looks like this, which is, you know, a net loss ratio for liability, which doesn't look too different to the year before. Maybe it's down a bit. I mean, well, current period claims are definitely on par with the year before, and it's down a bit because of the reserve releases that still existed. So what's the lesson here? I guess don't take the industry stats at face value. Understand what's going on. Complement with some SWOT analysis. Make sure you're not misled. So just to sort of wrap all that up, sure, we presented some numbers from the APRA stats, but that wasn't the point of what we were trying to do. It wasn't an industry update. It's been a fair bit of detail, but it's important to kind of think about what does this mean for not only using APRA statistics, but any source of publicly available information. So first and foremost, Luke said this before, don't take any statistics at face value. Understand what the data items actually are, such as that important distinction of direct insurers and direct business. Even sort of constructing the waterfall chart when we're trying to work out, you know, breaking the claims into natural perils and attritional and things like that, we're using the class of business stats aggregated up to sort of form some opinions about how to separate that, but then we're applying it to the direct insurers, which is not one-to-one, and we know that, so there's limitations in that process, and it's understanding those limitations to be able to get those insights. May not be perfect, but the insights are still valuable. Understand the story behind the numbers, so think about why and what's going on. I mean, as actuaries, I think that's what we do pretty well, so don't need to beat a drum there, but you know, think about what's happening in the industry, the RI arrangements. You know, when you see claims are up, you know, what proportion of that is actually due to the weather? It's very easy when when the media is ramping on about, you know, bad cat experience, just to blame your bad experience on the weather. But try to sort of dig down and work out, you know, what is actually driving your claims. And is it your attritional? Is there something sort of more sinister brewing beneath the surface? And another consideration might be a lot of these classes, you know, there might be the stats are published quarterly, but, you know, we can seasonally adjust some of the numbers to sort of smooth through some of those results. Allow for the systemic changes. So this calls back to sort of, you know, the FSL changes for Victoria and coming up in New South Wales. And, of course, draw from other publicly available information. So think back to the information universe, all the different... I mean, even in doing this kind of site analysis, we've used ICA and RBA and industry, other industry commentary and analyst reports and listed company reports and things like that. One final reminder is that, you know, when you're looking at industry stats, you're looking at, you know, at the industry level or even at the class of business level. But as we know, there's always a distribution beneath the surface. So this is using the APRA's institution-level statistics. We can see for ROE last year, industry sat at 12%, but companies sat on a wide spectrum. And these distributions exist for absolutely every line item in the APRA stats. So if you are using the stats, or if your companies are using the stats for the reasons we said earlier, such as, you know, understanding industry performance or benchmarking or, you know, your strategic planning and your FCRs and things to that effect. You know, maybe not just look at the headline numbers in the PDF report, what the industry is doing, but use institution-level stats to look below and benchmark yourself to your competitors or other similar companies running similar lines of business. So final comments here are, I don't know if you may have heard that APRA are considering, well, they're going to change their statistical publications for general insurance. They released a discussion paper in June and invited submissions. And these are just a high-level summary of some of the changes that they're going to put through, which are coming into effect from their publications effective December this year, so sort of in the new year. I'm not going to go into the details of all these right now. If you want to, like, I'm happy to answer questions later or chat to me afterwards about what these changes are, or otherwise I direct you to the discussion paper to have a closer look at what those changes are. In summary, it's generally more data more frequently, which is definitely in a moving in a positive direction, I think, which means more stats and more analysis for us. That's it from us. Any questions?
Thanks very much, David and Luke. I found that really interesting, but I don't look at APRA stats very often. But the breakdown and the work you've gone in done to put it all together for the presentation is commendable. It's time for questions from the floor. As always, this is being recorded, so please just state your name before you ask a question. Has anybody a question there?
Hi, thanks very much for that. Amanda Aitken from Actuarial Edge. Apart from the APRA stats, what other publicly available data sources would you use most often or find most valuable?
Probably the first one I'd go to would be the annual reports and any commentary from equity analysts. Because the listed insurers are such a big proportion of the market, it helps to validate what we're seeing with what the insurers are reporting themselves. Particularly with the institutional level statistics from APRA, there's often a bit of reconciliation that we need to do to unravel some of the listed insurers' own internal reinsurance arrangements to kind of get a view of what their true experience is. Any other sources would be, other kind of commentary other industry commentary around, like reinsurance rates and things like that would be most useful.
Has anyone else got any suggested sources that they might want to share with the room for other information? No?
I'll just add the other industry commentary as well. So, like Affinity's Pendulum, Deutsche Bank, co-written. Is this working? Yeah. Pendulum, or I mean, there's similar other publications by other consulting firms, and those publications generally have sourced other information as well. So I know that Pendulum includes information from ISA, Insurance Statistics Australia, which will have sort of more detailed information than what APRA stats have. So ISA itself is not publicly available. If you're a member, then you can access it. But you know, it's some of the stats are published in other industry commentary as well.
Any other comments or questions? I don't have any questions because you actually answered a couple of them as we went through, but I found that very informative. Can I ask how long it took to actually get the presentation together? Because it's both of you done a lot of background work and dealing on that.
There's This is a space that we've worked in a lot before, and we both look at the APRA stats a fair bit. So
yes,
a lot of the material kind of exists, and it's, the time was in putting together the story, I think.
Yeah. Oh. Well done. There's a question coming.
Hi. Thanks, guys. Andrew White from UWE. Excellent explanation of what was going on in the liability classes. I was wondering if you had any observations, particularly of the domestic motor class. In particular, I ask that because the last three quarters, I've observed a combined operating ratio of 98-99% compared to 2 or 3 years ago, pretty consistent low 90s with the odd spike, obviously coinciding with the natural catastrophe or something like that. So somebody's not making money, and I can't figure out who. Might be everyone. But I was just wondering if you guys had any further insights.
Anyone put up your hand?
So I'm probably going to This is information I only know from my colleague Graham Adams, who's actually in the room as well. I think maybe Graham can kind of confirm or not, but my understanding is that there's been some third party kind of disruptors who are driving up claims costs. Is that fair to say?
Particularly in New South Wales and Victoria, there's been a big increase in the number of third-party claims managers that are substantially adding to the cost of claims in the last 2 years, but particularly in the last 6 months. So that's not doing the core any favours, but certainly a big deterioration in claims costs. I think the other thing is that, like most things, averages are averages, so some motor insurers are probably doing well and others not less well. So... That's just one of the characteristics of the market.
Does that help, Andy? Yeah, a little bit, just a little bit. I'm not sure, no other questions? One coming? Yep, thank you.
This is pretty weird because my name's also Andy White. In terms of risk management, when it comes to more kind of emerging risks, are there any sources of data that you're looking at there to give an indicator of when certain emerging risks might start to be actually happening and having an impact on the industry?
I can't say I've seen too much. We sort of asked APRA the question whether or not they'd be, you know, publishing anything on cyber risks, but I mean, that's just for them too small for it to be a significant for it to be asked to be collected differently. Did you have any other?
Yeah, no, I don't really have anything to add there. Just on Luke's point with for APRA, I mean, when we ask questions like that about publishing more information in this discussion paper process, they're happy to publish data that's non-confidential if there's a use case for it. So they've obviously collected heaps of information from insurers, but they don't want to just spit out into the wind. So if basically what they're saying is, you know, if people say I want it and it's going to be useful, then they'll publish it.
Thanks, Andy. I don't think there are any other Andy Whites, but yeah, that's...
Thankfully, my name's not Andy White. I'm Daniel from Berkshire Hathaway. The work that you guys have to do unpicking things, largely due to Berkshire Hathaway in the last year... do you think insurance companies are too precious with regard to confidentiality of their data? There's certainly a lot less published in this country than there are in some others. I mean, just broadly as a question for the industry or for yourselves, do you think there'd be any harm in publishing information by insurance company and line of business?
Well, I guess being a user of the data rather than a contributor myself, I would be for seeing more useful information out there. I think APRA are moving towards publishing more of that because I think they went through a period of consulting with the industry about what's confidential. They did a review, confidentiality review, so they kind of looked at all the items that they collected and there were a number that they decided were no longer confidential, so... when that happens and they sort of have to kind of publish it to make it usable to everyone. So I think there is going to be, as far as like institution level by class of business, I think what they're going to be going forward, they'll be producing institution level but grouped into, it won't be by their classes of business, but I think it's grouped into like personal lines insurers, commercial insurers. Is that...
Yeah, so it's not perfect what they're doing, but it's they're going to allocate every institution in their stats to a category. Previously, it's been just direct insurers and reinsurers, but they're breaking down the direct insurers into personal lines, commercial lines, a few others, and the big ones, so that you can do that segmentation. So it's not class of business, and it won't be perfect for the insurers that obviously write both personal and commercial lines, but I guess a step in the right direction. But I think you're right. In Australia, there's definitely less stats published than overseas. And so maybe, I don't know, maybe you are right about the pressures.
Thank you. Good question. Any other questions? All right. I think that's the second bell we've had, so it's time to... go for lunch, maybe, I think, yes. So please show Luke and David your appreciation for...